Good morning. Today's scripture will be from 1 John 11, verse 12. 4, verse 11 through 12. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. 1 John 4, verse 11 through 12.
How about that? Is that better? Yeah. See, don't ever let the pastor mess with the mic. Would you do me a favor? Would you turn to somebody next to you and tell them what it is that sin does? What does sin do? And now, will you turn to somebody else, please, and tell them what the gospel is in one sentence or less? What is the gospel?
Talk about love. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. That is the love.
Love endures in kindness and sincerity.
What are you doing?
It does not boast, it does not brag, it does not envy.
That's right. Love is all around, so embrace it, capture it, never let it go.
Okay, easy, Creepy McCreeperson, all right? You're sounding a little stalkerish.
Stalkerish?
Yeah. Embrace it, grab it, never let it go? It's like love needs a restraining order.
I was sharing God's love, just like you were.
No, I'm jamming on a sweet song about love.
Oh, I love jam.
No, do not make fun of breakfast foods. That's the most important meal of the day, you communist. Do you mind?
Not at all.
Love, I suppose it is not jealous. It does not get angry. It's so fine, you go to find. It's all around for you and me.
I can't sing with you? I thought you were just singing about love's not rude.
Well, it's also not tone deaf.
Love's not proud, it's patient. It does not boast, it's patient.
What?
You just put patient in your song twice.
And?
Well, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, there's a lot of adjectives to describe love. It just seems like you'd have more than just using the word patient twice.
Real love, look at me, real love has a double dose of patience, but you wouldn't know that. You're over here jimmy-legging for me to finish the song.
I just think the people want to hear a biblically-based talk on God's love more than they want a hokey, cheesy song.
You just killed my soul. Fine, I'll go elsewhere where my music is appreciated.
Have fun by yourself.
What?
Nothing. We sing about God's love. We talk about it, but do we really live it out? Shouldn't God's love be the greatest motivation in everything that we do?
Hey.
Hey, buddy. Hey. What's going on?
I couldn't find anyone to appreciate my music.
I mean, Faith and Hope, they liked it, but they didn't love it.
Well, I'm glad you're back. I don't think I demonstrated God's love to
you. You didn't?
Very well.
Not at all.
Okay, I think it'd be great if you would share your love song about God.
No, you don't.
I do. No, I think it'd be great if you did.
No, you don't.
I think it would be very nice.
Just because you begged.
Love protects. Love trusts. Love hopes. Love perseveres. Love.
Uh, This is a real proud moment for you. Wasn't that the tune to Love Hurts?
Love does hurt. And love stinks. But you know what? What's love got to do with it when it's just
when it's a second-hand emotion?
Get out of my head!
We're done here.
To the bridge!
I know. Janine's preaching again, and she's going to preach about love. Trust me, I have labored over this text for at least 2 weeks, trying to preach anything from this text that is not love. But here we are. Will you pray with me, please? Father God, we are here. And it is clear we need to talk a little bit more about love. And so we ask you that you will be present in this place, loving us, teaching us how we can love each other more, better today. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Dear friends, verse 7 says, dear friends, that's us. Let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God, and whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. You know, every time we talk about love, we talk about what it feels like to be loved. It feels fantastic, doesn't it? We sometimes talk about what it feels like, what it looks like to love somebody else, and to love them with our whole heart. And sometimes we say, love is simple, just love them. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. You know, love is simple. It really is. You just love them. It's one four-letter word that you're allowed to say everywhere. Just love. In fact, there are hundreds, if not thousands, of songs about it. I'm going to date myself, but I bet you know this one. Love, 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 just a little bit of love, 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 just a little bit of love. You don't need a lot, just what you got. Love, 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 just a little bit of love. And we fall for it. We fall for it. Just a little bit of love. You don't need a lot, just a little bit. Little bit will make a difference, and that is true. But is it possible that we are confusing simple with easy? Because love is simple. But the love we're talking about in 1 John is not easy. I love 1 John. It's one of my favorite books. Because, as I said to my mother this morning, you could throw a rock anywhere in the book, and 9 times out of 10, it'll land on the word love. It'll land in a sentence, a verse, where it's talking about God's love. And I love that. I like that we get to spend time in a book as a church community, and we're talking about how much God loves us. And we can get so into this book about God's love that we dumb it down to just a little bit of love. Verse 11, our scripture reading from this morning says, "Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us." And it sounds simple and it sounds good. And then they throw in this little part about complete. Some versions say perfect. Perfect love. You know, we think when we have children, we are going to have somebody who loves only us. Completely. In fact, when I was born, my grandfather, and I quote, said to my father, "She may be your daughter, but I will teach her to love me. To love me the most. I will say to her, do you want to go here or there? Do you want to do this or that? And if it is me that is asking, she will always say yes." That's how much she will love me. And we think that if we give birth to this baby and we teach them how to love, then of course they're going to love us back and they're going to love us perfectly. But if you've had a child or you've had the responsibility of loving a child, you know that love is simple. It is not easy. Because we don't always feel like loving perfectly when they're doing something they shouldn't. We don't always feel like loving perfectly when they have done something they shouldn't, when they've messed up, when they've broken the relationship. We're sure we don't have to love them when they're being stupid. And yet, we do. We love each other even when we make mistakes. Even when we are belligerent to each other, we love each other because that's how God made us. And so we love our kids. I think it's no small accident that he calls himself the Good Father. Because his love is perfect. Simple, easy to understand, feels good, but even those who have not seen him can experience it. They can experience it through the love that we have for each other. And when God lives in us, verse 12 says, and his love is made complete in us when he lives in us. I don't know about you, but it sounds a little bit like remaining in his love has something to do with how we love each other. Now verse 13 says, we know that we live in him and he in us because he has given us of his Spirit. If you remember last week when we looked at the first six verses of this chapter, we were talking about other spirits. This is not the same spirit. The first clue is the capital letter. Verse 14, and we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. There's no room for this moralistic, therapeutic deism. You got to call it like it is. Amen. You have to believe in Jesus. You have to say you believe in Jesus as the Savior, not just a good guy. And if anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him and he in God. And so we know and rely on the love he has for us. In the version that I'm reading out of, it takes a break, it starts a new paragraph, and the first sentence in the new paragraph says, God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and in him. You know, if love is simple but not easy, if love is more than just a feeling, if loving each other is the way that we show people who haven't seen God what God looks like, it's a little bit intimidating. It's intimidating because it means that when you and I disagree, we still have to love. When our core values are at odds, we still have to love. When I feel justified in telling you exactly what I think of you, when I think it, I first need to love. I loved what you said, Pastor Bob, that when God's love fills me and I am seeing the world through his eyes, the connection is important, so important that I'm willing to keep my justified anger to myself because of our relationship. Is that what love does? You know, I like to hang out with some people. I like to hang out with you. I like to hang out with you. I really enjoy hanging out with my students. I don't enjoy hanging out with some people. Or maybe we should just say, I enjoy hanging out with some people more than others. And oftentimes, the reason I enjoy hanging out with some people more than others is because it's easy to love them. I like what they say. We have fun together. We have similar interests. I like hanging out with certain people because they're not mean to me. I like to work with certain people because we communicate on the same wavelength, because I know I can depend on them. There are other people that I'd rather not be assigned to a project with. But if I take this text seriously, I have to love everybody, because how I love shows who God is. If I take this text seriously, I really have to love the people I don't like. I have to love the people that it's difficult to work with. I have to love the people that don't see the world the same way I do. Really, isn't there something that says that I don't have to love them as much as I love us? No. If I take this text seriously, it requires that I do not other other people. It requires that I treat them as God has treated me, and it requires that I love them as God has loved me. One simple four-letter word that says, this is how he showed his love. He sent his only son. He sent his only son, whom he loved, not just so that he could show us God, not just so that he could do miracles, but so that he could clear everything that I have done wrong. Everything that you have done wrong, everything that we have done wrong, he loved us so much that he would clear everything with the gift of the Son so that we could have the option to love him. That is no simple thing. Verse 17, in this way, love is made complete. It is made complete among us so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment, because in this world, we are like him. I just have to. We've spent approximately the last 2 months looking at the book of Revelation. Now, let me tell you, if you want something that will challenge you and humble you and inspire you, study the book of Revelation with a group of teenagers. Because they don't read it like I read it. They read the words. They don't understand it with all the background that I have of having attended Revelation seminars since I was 6 years old. They understand it if it jives with what they've already studied in the Bible. If it is applicable to their lives. And when they have questions, they don't just take what you feed them. And so we look at the judgment, and we look at the three angels' messages, and we look at what it looks like to be part of the judgment. And let me tell you, there's scary stuff in Revelation. Especially when you start looking at horsemen and harvesting people. And we look at these things, and we study them together, and we imagine what it might look like, realizing that it's really not meant to be literal, but it has to be applicable to people who are still on the edge of concrete abstract thinking. And then we start talking about judgment. What does it look like if you're confident? How do I know that I'm part of the saints who are going to end up where we all want to end up? There's only one way you have enough confidence to keep living after you've looked at Revelation, verse by verse. The way you have confidence in living today, after you've looked at Revelation in the context of the world, in the context of the United States, in the context of what we have to deal with, and that is in the context of verse 1. It is the revelation of Jesus. It is the revelation of Jesus because Jesus loves perfectly. And when Jesus loves perfectly and we keep our eyes on him, that gives us a confidence that makes it possible to face what we're observing in Revelation. And so I'll direct you back to the section of our text where it says, "This is in this way love is made complete among us so that we will have confidence." Not we might have confidence, not we hope to have confidence, but we will have confidence on the day of judgment because in this world we are like him. Not just any him, we are like Jesus because we are becoming like Jesus. Verse 18, there is no fear in love. But perfect love drives out fear because fear has to do with punishment, and the one who fears is not made perfect in love. I don't know, but I suspect that this is not the kind of love that falls in love with somebody else. This is not the kind of love that has a crush on somebody or a one-sided romantic relationship, because that love, I stand here today and tell you, that love is filled with fear. fear that you will not be worthy of my trust. Fear that you will not love me back. Fear that I love you more than you love me. That's what that kind of love looks like. And so I read about God's love, the good Father, perfect love, and I am at a loss for what it really looks like if this kind of love drives out fear. There's no fear in love. Perfect love drives out fear because fear has to do with punishment. And the punishment is another word related to judgment, right? I wonder if what John is really describing here is much bigger than just community love. I kind of get the inkling that what he's really talking about here is the kind of love that changes everything. Self-sacrificing love. Hero love. Oh, but he said perfect love. I have to be honest with you, I am not a Greek scholar despite the Greek classes I have taken. I will not publish my grades to those classes. But I did learn a few things. And one of those things is that tense is extremely important. Because if you understand the tense of the word and the structure, then you get a nuance to understanding the words that you didn't have before. So there is no imperfect tense in this text. I looked, I checked. But this word perfect makes me think about the imperfect tense. And if you slept through some English classes, the grammar ones, like I did, I'll remind you how tense matters. Imperfect tense has to do with a continuing completed action. So, having done this, that's an example of an imperfect tense. And it's extremely difficult to translate when you're dealing with the Greek words and you're translating them to English and you're trying to make it understandable and dynamic for an English audience, because we don't talk like that. But this is the idea behind the imperfect tense, that the action was done, but it's still continuing, or at least the effects are continuing so that they are something that we should notice. And I love reading this part of the scripture with the imperfect tense in mind. Because what God has done, how God showed us his love, it's already been done. Close the book on that one. But the effects of what he did, those are supposed to be everlasting. And so imperfect, if you will, this love that God has for us, because it's done and yet it continues. And so then when I read, the one who fears is not made perfect in love, I read it with this imperfect in the back of my head. And I think to myself, the one who loves, the one who loves like God, is being perfected because of his love. That gives me confidence. We love because he first loved us. And if anyone says, I love God, yet hates his brother, he is a liar. For anyone who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen. And he who has given us this command, whoever loves God must also love his brother. love. One of my favorite love songs is a song by Natalie Cole. L is for the way you look at me. O is for the only one I see. V is very, very extraordinary. And E is even more. Now think about that for a minute. L is for the way you look at me. O is for the only one I see. V is very, very extraordinary. And E is even more than we can conceive of. Perhaps 1 John 4 is telling us to love God and love people. Simple, not easy. Please bow your heads with me. Father God, self-sacrificing love is not something we're good at. But we trust that you are the good, good Father. We want you to be the only one we see. We want love that is extraordinary to fill this place and to show each other and our community who you are. Who you are.